Test.
No turning back.
Clara Dior, the artist from San Diego, left this tape here for us, and we played it once and decided we could make better use of the tape.
Once enough.
And we just finished this tape, ran out of tape, in fact. Virginia was going to tell you about the flower market, the New Year's flower market. We had heard about it. I'd heard something, read something in the paper about the assigning of stalls for the New Year's market, and I didn't quite understand what it was all about, but we found out New Year's Eve. Over in Victoria Park on the Hong Kong side, there are acres of ground there where they have stalls set up for the farmers, I guess, who come in with flowering plum trees and flowering peach trees that they've cut off, like we described on the previous tape. And they're set in water to keep fresh, of course. And then they have rows and rows and thousands of kumquat trees in flower pots, little kumquat trees over a foot to 3 feet high, and calamondin trees. And some of them are even orange trees, and they're bonsai trees, really, in flower pots. And they cost anywhere from $6 American on up to, well, $100 for some of the things they have, American, that is. And they have hyacinths? No, not hyacinths. I always want to call them hyacinths.
Narcissus.
You talk about the narcissus.
Oh, they have the strangest way of doing them. Of course, we had seen them on the streets for several weeks. Great big fat bulbs in just a little bit of water sprouting with the little green shoots coming up. And over there, they had sometimes tiers of them just all stacked up. And some of them were just plain narcissus growing up. And others, we couldn't figure out what in the world they were. And so Ducky was along, and she, in her impeccable Cantonese, asked, and he said they cut them off and turned them under all around the edges. And there were some of them, they had graduated up, looked like almost like a tree. They had bulbs stacked up so that they came up to a point, and one right in the top had the blooms on it, and the others were coming up with blooms, but the ones down the lower levels were
they're curly.
Their leaves were all turned under, and it made them sort of curly, and the little bloom stems coming up then stood up so straight, and so it was quite a contrast. It was really a beautiful thing, and they were quite expensive. Of course, the great big one, I think we priced it, and it was about 90 Hong Kong, which is less than $20. And you know how much care had gone into accomplishing this little feat. And then they had all kinds of potted plants, little dwarf marigolds, and I ended up riding the bus home with a little pot of chrysanthemums, little tiny blooms, sort of a white with little greenish centers. They're really beautiful.
Come by, come quiet.
Oh yeah, and Dorothy, the little girl behind, said that her brother and she were going to the market late at night because you can get the things cheaper when it gets close to midnight. And she was going to buy us a little kumquat tree, and Jay wanted one with the little long kumquats. They call the others the Calamandans kumquats also. But she called that evening to find out what time we went to bed, so they would come sometime after 11 with one because they would be cheaper then. So we assured her that we'd stay up until she got here. MJ did. I had already gone to bed. But here they came at about 11:45 with this kumquat. It cost, what, $20 Hong Kong, which is about $4 U.S. And it had how many kumquats on it?
29. It's about 13 inches high.
Yeah, it's just cute as it can be. And we had that and my little pot of chrysanthemums in our front window.
I think the calamondin trees and kumquat trees sort of take the place, and the flowering plums, mm-hmm. of an American Christmas tree
yeah.
at Christmas. You're supposed to get it that night, and after midnight, why, they're almost valueless. It's like a Christmas tree after Christmas Eve. And nobody wants them then, so that's why they want to sell them out before midnight.
Yeah.
I think what might have happened is that Dorothy and her brother spent the money they had for theirs on ours, and that's why they had to go back.
I don't know. We tried to get it to her beforehand, and she said, no way. But she said they went back and got a bigger one. Well, they had already bought the Plum when they came back here, or Pete, whichever it was. And then you have certain other special flowers that you arrange in a great big dish at the base of the flowering plum tree we discovered when we went over to her home yesterday. And my, there's certain traditions, I guess, of where the things are placed.
They must have spent hundreds of dollars home coming on their flower arrangements.
Yeah.
And they really aren't that well-to-do. In fact, she took us to show us the river that she'd been telling us about. And it's a, there's a railroad tunnel just a few hundred yards from her house. And a little stream flows out of the railroad tunnel and disappears in an open sewer sort of thing, or closed sewer, right about 100 yards from her house. And she said that's the river, and that's where they wash their clothes. On Sunday mornings, frequently, she comes and says, well, I was late because I had to do the family washing before church this morning. How many are there in the family? Eight?
Eight children.
10 people. She does the family
wash.
Bending over that sewer, actually, is what it is. But the water is clean, I guess, because there are no people living between them and the tunnel. It's that one family. But the thing that interested me yesterday was at Dorothy's, over in the corner toward the kitchen, the mother had her Buddhist altar, and they had their offering of chicken and other things sitting in front of the Buddhist altar, and incense was burning. I could hardly stand the smell when I walked in. But the incense was burning and everything was set up over there. And then over where we were seated, the flower arrangements and the flowering peach tree and all. And they set up a little table and brought in all the goodies. Oh boy, there were some goodies that really turned your stomach. But we made a brave attempt to eat some of all of it. And we drank the tea, which was good. And Dorothy was there with us. There was the two girls from down below and the twin sister, one of them, went with us. And Virginia and myself. And I suggested that we return thanks before we eat the food. And Dorothy kind of clapped her hands and, oh, fine. And so we bowed and I asked the Lord's blessing on the home, thanked the Lord for their hospitality. And when we got through, she just jumped up and down and clapped her hands. She says, oh, the first time in my house. Bless her heart.
She's such a dear.
And she's the only Christian in the family, of course.
One of her brothers used to come occasionally to the chapel with one of the Phillips boys, who was about his age, I guess. But he has gone back to Wheaton, and the boy just doesn't bother anymore, I guess.
Is this the one that was there yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh, the one that brought his girlfriend?
Yeah. Carl Beach had made contact with him. That's how Dorothy happened to be coming.
Yeah.
But it's really an uphill battle for... You think you've got it rough. They've got it rough, too, because all of their family, every one of the young people that come to our chapel are from Buddhist families, the Chinese young people. And two boys that came on the eve of New Year's Day, on what, Tuesday afternoon? They came because MJ had been sick, and they brought... She brought him a gift.
New Year's gift.
A New Year's gift, and you'll never guess what it was. A great big fat bottle of mentholatum.
But, the funniest part was that they took 5 or 10 minutes to explain in detail how I should use it.
As though it weren't made in America and we didn't grow up on it.
Oh, my. I appreciated it very, very much.
Such
it was
dear
touching.
Boys.
They're so sweet.
They were concerned about MJ, and they wanted him to get better, so they brought him something to make him better.
Oh, one of the other interesting New Year's customs to us, Lee, is the custom of giving what they call lucky money, lycee. And for weeks before, we've seen on the streets the little vendors selling these little red envelopes, packages of 100 or so. And they have Chinese characters for good luck and prosperity and all the whole bit. They also sell posters with a picture of the Buddhist saints, the long life and the others. Uh-oh, somebody's at the gate.
And,
okay. We found, I thought, it's nice to give things at New Year's like that. That's a tradition, and it would be nice, and I certainly will be expected to give something like that to our young people. I'm sure they'll expect lucky money from us. Why couldn't we have an envelope that wasn't the Buddhist bit, but would have a Christian connotation. And I asked somebody, and they said, oh yeah, well, that was the garbage man at the gate, by the way. He came up at the back gate a couple days before New Year's, wanting his lycee. We didn't have it for him until New Year's Day, and I gave it to him in one of these special envelopes. We went to the Christian bookstore, and they had envelopes with the quotation was from Psalms, from Job. I keep saying Psalms. I asked whether, told her to look up Proverbs. Now I'm in Psalms. I'm working my way back to Job. The verses, Job 22:21, says in the New English Bible, says, "Come to terms with God, and you will prosper. That is the way to mend your fortune. Take instructions from His mouth and store His words in your heart." And the boys, when I gave it to them, and then asked them to read it to me, and they were trying to translate it and trying to read it. If you've ever had Chinese try to decipher the language to you, it really is. It's almost impossible to wring it out of what it said.
They have conference on everything.
But while they were struggling with it, I saw the numbers, and so I looked up Job 22:21. I couldn't see the Job, but I could see the numbers. And they said they thought it was from the Old Testament. And I just sort of deduced that it was Job. I looked Proverbs first, and it wasn't Proverbs, so I tried Job, and sure enough, there it was. And when I started reading, that's it, that's exactly it. They were so pleased that I had translated it for them. It's so funny. But we gave lucky money then to Dorothy's family and to Dorothy's brother's girlfriend who came. You're supposed to give it especially to young unmarried girls. That
the married couples are the ones that have to give the gifts. Yeah. The unmarrieds don't.
Yeah. The married people to the young unmarried girls especially. We also, of course, the boys expect it to a certain extent from their older friends and from their family. And I guess our boys consider us their family.
Sure. They went to great detail to tell us all about it beforehand so we'd be prepared.
Yeah. So it was really funny yesterday at Dorothy's. I had given Dorothy hers, and Dorothy's two younger sisters were there, and I'm taking care of them. And when her brother came in, I had given him one. I had $10 in Hong Kong for him because they've done a lot of favors for us. And I know what it was. I hadn't told him about the Chinese characters that I made. Dorothy's brother, one of the other brothers, had given me some clay. Maybe I mentioned this to Lee in a letter or on the tape. And I made Chinese characters. Let's say God loves the whole world, or God so loved the world, and another God gives us peace. That are mottos here in our house, and I copied it from the mottos. And they baked them, colored them, and baked them for me. And I appreciated that, so I gave him one of the little envelopes, too. And I didn't think about his girlfriend. It was her first visit to his home, by the way, and she was rather shy and awkward. She was a pretty thing,
yeah.
Wasn't she? But when I gave him the envelope, he looked just real excited. He said, "Oh, you know our custom?"
It's almost as bad as when we went in a restaurant for the first time. Instead of taking the jasmine tea that they gave us, we asked for Chinese red tea. And the waiter, who had been sort of lackadaisically taking our order, brightened up, and right away he says, "Oh, how you know about that?"
That was a train on the way to China.
They really appreciate anything that you do that indicates to them that you're interested in them and in their customs. And it really gets a response.
Jesse would be interested to know that they did finally get some firecrackers around here. We did hear some firecrackers. It's against the law here, too, but there's some of them that always managed to get hold of them. We heard them for a couple of days.
In Florida.
Yeah, popping. The train just going by to China reminds me the papers are full of the numbers of people this year. Thousands of people are being allowed to visit China this year. This is sort of a new thing.
Record, yeah.
It's pretty special for a lot of
people. Yeah,
Esther was going. One of our Chinese girls was going to go with her mother. I believe, wasn't she, to visit the family? We would love to go. I just wish we could figure out a way that we could afford it.
But, I'm not too sure.
Well, I would. I'd love to. Just to be able to say that I've been there. My goodness. Just think. And the contrast between what they say on Radio Peking. I was listening to it last night, you know, all the happy peasants working and singing and all this sort of thing. And somebody like Dr. Chan and some of these other people who have risked their lives to get out of the place, you want to go and just see the happy peasants working and just see the expressions on their faces. Try to come to some conclusion for yourself.
Well, undoubtedly, we would not be allowed to go anywhere where they weren't. We'd be
unhappy. We enjoyed the pictures of Star Hill. It looks like a beautiful place.
And I'm anxious to see it, aren't you?
Yeah, I can see the appeal, especially to Lee, the beauty of it. And I appreciated the watercolor, too. I'm like Jesse. But the modern art isn't supposed to look like you,
that's
is it?
True.
That's your expression of your feeling and what you feel about yourself. And sometimes we feel a certain way about ourselves and then we don't have the technical ability to put it either into words or into music or into art either. The closest we can come is the closest we can come, that's all. I feel that way so often about my sermons and other things that I try to do, my prayers even. Maybe this is why people go into tongues, you know, because you get beyond the realm of coherent expression. And I guess that's the appeal of modern art to some people. But I'm not attracted to modern art or modern music or modern tongues either, for that matter. And I'll just do the best I can, stumbling along with what I've got. We have a tape that we're going to send to Kurt. We'll probably make him mad for two reasons. One is it's on a cassette, and I don't think he has a cassette player. And the other is that it's a Moog synthesizer and a vibraharp and all this bit, but it's by a professor at the Chinese University of Hong Kong who took plum blossoms, it's an old Chinese ching, like the koto piece.
Beautiful.
And they play it straight, and then he plays his new composition composed for Chinese New Year, and it's done on this synthesizer and modern instruments, and it's one of these things where he plays the tape and then the musicians sit there and express themselves according to a preset formula that he has set up on paper for them, and it's surrealistic, and he likens it to Dali's watch and you know, things like that, Modigliani and people like that, but I think it's pretty contrived, and it makes me mad, and I'm sure it'll displease Kurt. But the first part of it, where this young Chinese boy plays it on the chain, is beautiful, the real thing. And the tape is worth keeping just for that, actually. But I wanted him to hear what they're doing over here. I wrote him and asked him if he'd thought about offering to come over and teach at Baptist College. Just sort of threw a time bomb. I guess it's still working. We haven't heard from him yet. Oh yeah, we threw one at the Jakes last night, too. I wrote a letter to Ed Jakes, and I said, I believe in practicing what you preach. And he'd been preaching missions and how to do it. He comes over here and tells the missionaries how to carry on. They're retiring this year. So I said, I can't think of a better fate for you than to spend your first year in retirement over here practicing what you've been preaching and being pastor of Bethany Baptist Chapel. We've got it now set up in these nice new quarters, and it is going to be a nicer arrangement, and somehow I feel more encouraged about the future of it. I really believe that maybe they can organize into a church here one of these days with this new arrangement. They won't be spending everything they take in, for one thing, for a place to be.
Had you noticed that the strange thing, we haven't had really any more people coming, but they're getting better since we've moved?
For one thing, we have visitors each time from the Y. That's helped.
But it has been, it seems to me, that they've been giving more generously since we moved. I think everybody...
...test of the tape recorder sitting on the settee in a room that isn't quite as resounding and reverberating as the kitchen. See if the fidelity is a little bit better on this side. It will be a lot better. I'd like to find out anyway.
I guess I didn't push him far enough. Well, I just shot about 5 minutes trying to tell Lee something. And
Tell me what you were telling me.
Oh, brother. I don't know. I was trying to describe the day that we had, at least the afternoon. I told her about our great letter writing that we did last night and today. It was kind of a grim day yesterday, and also again today, this morning anyway. It was cold and drizzly, so we stayed in and took advantage of that time to try to catch up on some of our letter writing. We finished 8 between the two of us. I think I did 4 and he did 4. I wanted to write to Susan, and I also wrote to Jan. She had sent me some beautiful pictures of little Michelle Lee, some taken on her birthday, I guess at her birthday party, and some taken at Christmas. And they, oh, she looks so sweet. It's just killing me because I have to be so far away from my grandchildren. Maybe it's a good thing for their mamas, but it's not a good thing for me, I don't think. Maybe it is. Anyway, to get back to the story, we took off just after lunch and tried a new way of going to Hong Kong this time. We understood there was a bus that went through the tunnel that would take us right to where we wanted to go, so we wouldn't have to get on the bus and then go on the ferry and then take a taxi and go down to the China Fleet Club. So we tried it, and it wasn't the right one, but we ended up at the right place. We went on our old number 7 down partway to town and then changed and got on the other bus. And we didn't get much mail, but we did mail our others. We got a letter from a lady out in California and a link. Then we got on the tram and decided to ride down to Kennedy Town to see if we could find some beautiful running lights. And what kind of lights are those others, do you call them?
Masthead light.
Masthead light, like they use on ships. And we wanted to get...
Copper.
Yeah, we wanted to get them and take home to put on our dock. They're so pretty. But we found the place. I had seen it when I went with the little ladies that got stranded off the ship. And...
When she loses her way, she makes me sick.
We went in this little hole in the wall. It's right down on the sidewalk, practically. And they were in there hammering and shaping, and it was very interesting. But nobody paid us any attention, and I'm sure nobody spoke English. And, of course, our Cantonese is limited to about 3 words, so we didn't find out anything, although they were making some great big ones like we've never seen before. Beautiful things.
We could have wished them gung hei fat choy.
Hey, yeah. Well, we didn't have any little envelopes. You're supposed to give them a little bit of money in little envelopes, you know. But they didn't know us from anybody, so it's just as well. Then we walked over a couple of blocks and got another bus. We decided we'd try it again, because while we were waiting for the tram, we had seen 3 number 101 buses go by, and we thought, that's the one. Because MJ said he thought he read on it, it said Kowloon-tong. But when we finally got it, it said Goon-tong, which is a far cry from here.
K-W-U-N, K-O-W-L-O-O-N. You can see how I made the mistake.
Well, anyhow, we rode back in down to the ferry on that bus. And then we got off and walked down to the ferry and took it across and went on a shopping expedition trying to find some cracked black pepper, real coarse ground. We made a discovery. We may have told you about the cheese that some friends brought us, a little ball of cheese rolled in cracked black pepper that was delicious. But it also cost about $10, Hong Kong that is. Of course, that's $2. But we decided we could make it cheaper, so MJ had bought some cracked pepper a couple of weeks ago, and we'd made up a couple of these cheese balls, and they just went like crazy.
Anything those Frenchmen can do, my wife can do better. And French women, too, I might add.
Oh, well, I'm not too sure about that. At this point, anyway. In my day. But anyhow, we went to how many places did we go? 4 or 5? Trying to find...
Market.
Yeah, plus the vegetable market. We went down in this really unbeaten.
Tell me about the guy barbecuing the duck in the street.
Oh, wow. This isn't a him. This,
I mean, her.
Oh, well, it could
Jesse.
Be. Yeah, Jesse would have enjoyed that. We, as we were walking along down one of these little alleyways, we just couldn't believe it. Here was a guy standing out right on the edge of the curb with a little...
Oh, duck, head and all.
Yeah, the whole duck with a skewer stick run
rear,
through him.
His rear end right out of his head.
Well, do you have to be so indelicate? Anyhow, he had him a... what kind of a fire was...
I didn't notice what the fire was. It was probably charcoal.
I don't think it was. It looked...
Two windshields on either side of it to keep the wind from blowing.
Kind of like a little campfire. And there he stood, bending over, twirling that thing round over the flame, barbecuing it. And right
in the middle of Kowloon Tong, and this is a big city.
And right in the, on this other side of the sidewalk, right behind him, was a little open-air restaurant-type thing that they were getting ready to set up business for the night, I guess, because at night it is absolutely unbelievable. You can walk down this particular area and, well, no holds barred. They put things out sidewalk to sidewalk. The cars just can't go through. And you can walk along and buy anything under the sun. And a great deal of it is food. I never saw, I still can't figure out how the Chinese people can eat all the time, which they really do, and still not be as big as the side of a barn. I can't even eat a third of the time and not be. MJ just brought me the box from that pepper that these friends brought.
Cheese.
I mean, the pepper cheese, yeah, excuse me. And it's called Boursin, B-O-U-R-S-I-N. He thought you might know about it. It's really a very nice cheese. I've mixed three or four different kinds with some cream cheese and came up with something that tasted almost like the expensive kind. It's about, what, 6:30, 7 o'clock in the evening now, and it's still daylight. We were so exhausted when we got home after all our trucking around that we came in and made a pot of tea. We're getting almost as Chinesey as the Chinese about our tea.
More.
Oh, more, huh? And we had a cup of tea and some crackers and some of the new pepper cheese that I finished off after we came home.
Some of your new French boursin cheese.
Yes, yes. Sorry about that. So we thought we'd rest a while, and then if we decided we wanted something else to eat, we'd get up and stir around and fix it.
Energetic day in the life of the Bowdersons. Well, you've walked a lot today on your bad foot.
Yeah, I know. But I did get out of going to the dentist. I tried to call him, and I didn't get him. I guess he's still out gung-hei fat choying, having more Chinese New Year. Or maybe I didn't get the right number. I'm not sure. I thought it was the right one. I lost a little gum line filling last week. And, of course, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, nothing was cooking anywhere. Nothing was open. Friday, here, we had quite a to-do. And we had 13 here for lunch, and I didn't know anything about it until that morning, so you could imagine. Typical left curve. But the boys and MJ and maybe a couple of the girls had planned to go hiking. They were going over on one of the islands, but
everybody hikes at New Year's.
Yeah, that was the day for hiking, but it was a kind of an unsettled day, like today and yesterday. So they all met out here, and not far from here there's a trail that begins and goes up on Lion Rock Mountain and then over to another mountain where there's a radar tower right up above our house. So what, about 10 of you all took off and went up on a hike. They left about 11 and they didn't get back until almost two. In the meantime, I cooked up a, well, I don't know what you'd call it. It was a sort of a Chinese-y dish. We had had a pork roast the night before. The first time I'd cooked anything like that since we've been here. And Ducky and Griff came and had dinner with us, and I had enough of it left that I sliced it real, real thin, and then I sliced a whole slew of carrots and celery and onion and water chestnuts and bamboo shoots, and
it was good.
I guess that was about all I put in.
Well, the kids really inhaled it. They enjoyed it.
Yeah. Of course, I cooked a great pot of rice, and we still have some of that left. And in fact, I still have enough of the pork to do it again, so we may end up doing that tonight or maybe tomorrow.
Those cute new married couple that are here, he's working with the computers, and they came.
Tell them.
The Thomes from Minnesota. They're living in a hotel downtown, and Virginia called them, and they came out. They were going to go hiking, but they didn't make it. But they were here for the lunch, and we had time. We had Bible study after lunch and prayed together with the kids and all. They always expect that and enjoy it. The Thomes, she brought her Bible, bless her heart.
Mm-hmm.
They were ready. They're a nice couple.
Yeah, they have spent almost a year in Korea. He was doing, he works for a data processing computer firm that's based in Minnesota, and they have offices here, and I think he was also in Japan for a short period of time. I don't know whether they were just there on a sort of a vacation before they came here for another work detail, but they will be here for 6 months. And of course, me and my little old mind, right away I asked her if she didn't play the piano. She doesn't, and he doesn't, and they don't sing. But I did find out that she is a school teacher. She has taught grammar school, and they are probably going to work with the high school young people if we ever can get any of them. High school young people, that is. We had three yesterday, but that was because something fouled up on the bus, and the little guys didn't get there, and two of the girls teach the little tiny ones, so they sat in on the class. And I think if we can get this young couple working with the young people, that they will enjoy it, because I don't think they are probably even 30.
Okay.
Do you think?
No.
Well, it's possible they could be, but not any more than that. And we had a good time with them. They came to church yesterday, and there was another couple there. I guess they're probably our age, from Watsonville, California. He's a farmer, and they're on their way to India to work. They have just a visitor's visa, because no missionaries or workers can get into India now, but they're going to be to visit and help farm some property that one of the missionaries, or doctors, I guess, has. It's at a leprosarium that they've had there. Leper colony. They've had there for years and years. And that's what they're going to do. And they only have a 3 month visitor's visa. But when that's over, why, they may have to go out and then go back in. Remember, like the Jakes did when we were in Italy? There are more ways to get around things like that than one. MJ is over here. When we come back, he's going to teach Jesse how the Chinese kids play. We'll bring some of these little gizmos. They're the funniest looking things you ever saw. They have about three feathers stuck down in them, and it's around about, 2 inches in diameter? And it's what it's actually made of is a section of an old telephone directory.
So, three times.
Oh, yeah, you're getting good. Just don't break your neck.
It's a foot shuttlecock.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Hey, four times.
You got that one on the back draft.
Did it on the back, that's right. Backhand, back flutter.
Well, Lee, we haven't heard from you except to...
She can use this tape and send it back to
us. Yeah, the letter that you enclosed your picture. I know that it's not as easy to write when you have Jesse there because, I've been there with three or four or five kids. And you and Jesse can talk to us. This is it's an old tape that something else was on. And so we're just recording it for you and you can redo it and send it back to us. How about that? Yeah. Yesterday afternoon, after the Bible study was over, the boys wanted to sing. Two of them that had stayed, and they have really nice voices. They like to sing these choruses that the young people sing nowadays, in English too, yet. And so I played some of them, and they sang. They really enjoyed it. What shall I say? I don't want to disturb your concert, dear. He's playing.
Somebody has been eating our gumquats.
Oh, wow.
A bird must have picked one off.
Yeah. How about that? Well, go
bring it in.
We set it outside today because the forecast was for a little bit of rain, and we thought that'd be just perfect for our gumquat tree. But if the birds are going to eat them up, I guess we'll bring them back in. Japan Airlines plane is just coming in for a landing. That last flute that you heard was one of the old kind. Kurt had asked us to look for one, and MJ found one. You blow it from one end. It's very difficult to blow it. It only has five notes. So far, we haven't come up with a tune that he can really play on it, but he enjoys and makes a beautiful sound.
You know, I'm just full of beautiful sounds, and I've discovered that Mother just has about a half a minute left on this tape, so we'll sign off to both of you and wish you the best of everything and tell you that we love you and miss you and look forward to the time when we can be together again. Bye-bye, Jesse, and take good care of your mother for us, and... be sure and make this tape and send it back to us. Okay? Bye-bye.